Now, being proactive is actually a step further than just responding compared to reacting. Being proactive means that when that situation happens, you've already prayed. You already kind of know the heart of God. And so when you come into it, you already can begin to respond. You don't have to go and find out what to do and come back. You hear what I'm saying? Proactive means you're taking steps in advance. You know, a natural example, we talked about this a little bit last week. As good a car as you have, guess what? One day, it's going to break down. One day you're going to have to replace the tires. One day you're going to have to replace the brakes. One day you're going to have issues with your car. It could be the best car in the world. You know, the book, you know, Lemonade, you know, when you look it up, it shows the best ratings for it. It will wear out. Please do not be surprised when something happens. All right? So what do you need to be? Proactive. You need to be having an account set aside where you're saving up your money because you know you're going to have to fix it. It shouldn't be, oh my gosh, well, I can't believe all this is happening. You know, you get a mortgage, you know, payment that you have to do at the first of the month, and you're surprised when it comes. You get what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, you know, I got car repair now, I got a mortgage payment, and the electric bill came. How did that happen? Comes on the same date every month. You get what I'm saying? And so you and I, we need to be proactive knowing that's happening. And if we're not making the bills, then we have two ways to look at this. We have two ways. You either have to cut your expenses, you know, where are you spending your money, or you got to make more money. And so you look at it and you make that B word. And the B word is not a cuss word. Budget is not a cuss word, okay? It's a wholesome, healthy thing to do and to prepare. Listen, whether you have a budget or not, it doesn't change how much money you've got coming in. But with a budget, you can plan where it goes. You can be proactive. And I'll tell you, everyone that I know, when they get into the mode of doing that, they always have more money at the end. Why? Because they look at where some of their money's going, and they're like, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that. You know, there's some people. Again, I am not against this. You do whatever you want. If you're making your ends meet and you're happy where you're at, God bless you. But, you know, there are people who every morning they got to go get their Starbucks coffee and then their little thing. So there's $3, $4, $5 they blow every day. And you think, it's just $3, $4, $5. What's the big deal? Times 30, $150. Times 10 months is $1,500. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? When you could have a little Keurig machine at home, for 50 cents, make up the same thing. You get what I'm saying? With a little proactivity, just a 30 seconds extra in the morning. I'm just making some suggestions. Again, if your budget fits Starbucks, God bless you. Have at it. But if you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm having trouble here, here's some ideas that you can do to be proactive, all right? Just natural ideas. So how do you be proactive? You think and pray and seek God in advance. That's what being proactive is. So when the stuff happens, you are ready to rock and roll. Because the stuff will happen. All right? There's not a person here that hasn't had stuff happen in their lives. You know, accidents happen, things happen, and we need to be proactive as believers. Amen? Now, believe it or not, today I want to take kind of a step back a little bit from it and talk about an aspect of being proactive, that it's not always an action, it's actually an attitude. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis, I want to show you a scripture. I was at a conference a month or two ago, and there was actually a lady speaking on leadership, and it wasn't even related to this. She just happened to mention a little point back to this scripture, and I went on a rabbit chase. Does anyone know what a rabbit chase is? The way she said it, and I began to study it out and look at it, and I just got a real revelation. So I just want to give this to you because it fits into what we're talking about. So as you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, they're going to put it up on the board there, I hope. There it is. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So as you look at this scripture, you know, you have the earth. It was dark. It was void. The words for the Hebrew of void and dark actually is empty and confused. It's really interesting when you look at the root. So empty and confused. So you actually could look at this in a picture that if that's how the earth was, you know, empty and confused, isn't that in a sense how we are when God comes to our lives, when he comes to kind of empty and confused, right? And it says there, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That word hovering is exactly the same word used as a hen, a mother hen, as she broods over her chicks. Isn't that really cool? And so literally it's a picture of the presence of God being there on the earth, or in our case, being there in our lives over kind of confusion and emptiness, because that's what we are without Christ, all right? You know, and he's there. And then the very next line, if you go to verse 3, and God said, let there be light. In other words, then God spoke. But you know what strikes me is that if you go back to verse 2, he was just hovering there. He was just there. And I think of a chicken over her brood. She doesn't talk. She keeps quiet. You know why she keeps quiet? If she makes noise, she attracts weasels, attracts hawks, all kinds of. So she keeps her head down. She keeps low. You know, she spreads her wings. Looks like this kind of little brown thing. You know, you don't even know that there's a bunch of little chicks underneath there. And in a sense, that's how you and I need to be as we approach the circumstances of our lives. In other words, we may not need to do or say anything to begin with. How about we do some hovering? How about we do some brooding? How about we just do some thinking and considering and praying about the situation before we go off and start talking and doing things, you know, with our own ideas and our own plans? If it's good enough for God, that's kind of how I'm looking at this, all right? If it's good enough for him to hover, to brood, to consider, to settle on, and then say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And then he speaks. What a picture for us today, amen? That if we're going to be proactive, we need to find out the heart of God for that given situation. Because being proactive doesn't mean doing your own thing. At least not being proactive God's way. You know, you can be proactive outside of God, and guess what? That's going to get you in a whole heap of trouble. Now, I could tell you stories all day about me, all right? You know, where I just say, hey, this is a good idea. Here's the problem with a good idea. There's too many O's in it. You get what I mean? You got to take one O out so it's a God idea. And so many times we have good ideas, but we need to brood. We need to hover. We need to spend time with the Lord and with the situation, just looking at it and praying and interceding so we can get the heart and the sense of God for it. Too often we act too quickly. Now, what's interesting, when we do it God's way, when God spoke, stuff happened. Let there be light. Poof, there was light. In other words, you know, let there be this, let there be light. And as he spoke, everything came into place. You see, when you and I hover, when you and I get a sense of what God's heart is, when we speak, we don't speak on our own authority anymore. We're speaking on his authority. And when we speak according to his word, his way, there's always miracles that happen. You just have a look all through the Bible. Every time any man or woman of God was instructed by God to say something or do something, there always was a miracle that followed. Every single time. I have yet, and listen, I've been through this a few times, all right? Been through it, cover to cover, a few times. I have yet to say and see a person come back to God and say, God, I did exactly what you said and nothing happened. And God said, oh man, I'm sorry. I forgot to send that angel to look after it. I'll get you next time. It's not there. It's not there. When God says it and we act upon it, the miracle follows through every single time. Amen. So I just encourage you with that. It's important to brood, to hover. You know, and again, just like I said earlier, engage brain before putting mouth in gear. Just take, listen, for some of us, here's what we need to do. Just take that deep breath. You know what I'm saying? I was on the phone. How many people deal with medical insurance from time to time? Do you enjoy doing that? Horrible, all right? It's horrible every time I deal with it. So I'm calling my insurance person about something. This is a couple years ago. And I was hot, all right? I was really aggravated. Because in New York State, apparently there's some kind of tax that they charge that's not covered. You have to pay the tax over top. And I'm saying to the lady, look, I have insurance. It's supposed to cover me up to this amount. Doesn't that cover the insurance too? So at the other end, she takes this deep breath. I heard it. And I said, and I was so upset at that. I said, don't take that deep breath on me. Because I knew what she was doing. She was, doing what she'd been trained to do. And I said, look, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm taking a deep breath now too. We're good. I said, look, you're just the person in the middle. You don't really make the decisions. I'm just venting. I'm sorry. So she goes, okay. And so we carried on. But the point is that, you know, we all deal with this. And you need to sometimes just take that deep breath and just settle and just wait. How many people sometimes have issues with that? You know, you sometimes speak and it comes out and you're like a week, a month, a year later, you regret what you said. I've been there. I've been there. Those couple of seconds, you know, that decision, that action, whatever you do, for just that couple of seconds can change the destiny of your life, someone else's life, and not always in a good way. And so it's so important for us to be careful what we say. Amen? Amen. You know, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I love this, it's a very common scripture, right? If anyone be in Christ, he's what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. See, you know why I love that scripture? I call that a do-over scripture. Here's why. You and I make mistakes. We do, all right? But in Christ, we get to start again. And so don't let your past reflect what your future is going to be. You know, God is an amazing God. He's a healing God. He's a forgiving God. But I'll tell you, the enemy will use your past to hold you back. And he doesn't do it always through the circumstances of your life. He does sometimes. But you know how he does it? He does it through your head. Inside is where he gets to. I'm going to tell you a story of something that I did years and years ago. When I was in grade 3 or grade 4, I became the arm wrestling champion of our classroom. And that carried all the way through into high school. Now let me tell you something. I wasn't the strongest guy. I wasn't even the smartest guy. Believe me, I wasn't either one of those, all right? Yet I was the best arm wrestler ever. Now let me tell you how I did it. Because I want you to understand how the devil works. Now I'm not saying I'm the devil, but I'm using me as an example, all right? So please don't say, oh, Pastor Carl's the devil. No, please don't. Okay, I'm just saying this is how the enemy works. And so I remember, you know, starting, and obviously, I wasn't the smartest kid, but I wasn't the dumbest either. So what I would do when I would start arm wrestling, when I first started, I would pick the weakest kids. Hey, you want to have an arm wrestle? And I'd just kill them. You know what I'm saying? Just push, you know, just pound them up. But then as time went on, some of the stronger kids wanted to arm wrestle me. And so as time, it was harder to beat them, all right, you know. And so I learned some techniques, okay. I have fairly short arms, so that gave me a little bit of an advantage. I could anchor my arm in such a way for at least for 4 or 5 seconds, I could brace it that no matter how strong the kid was, he couldn't beat that. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't get past that pump, so to speak. But I'll tell you how I became the arm wrestling champion. And it wasn't by working out. It wasn't by lifting weights. It was with this, my mouth. Here's what I would do. The kid would come up, and I'm like, are you really sure you want to do this? The kid's like, yeah, I'm sure. Are you really sure? Do you really want to embarrass yourself in front of all your classmates? Yeah. Now, seriously, like, you know, you see me just trounce all these other guys. Are you really sure? Well, I think so. Can I tell you that by the time that kid sat down, I'd beat him already? He was beat. Sometimes they were a little bit stronger than that. So they'd get down. I'd lock my arm. Remember, I got 5 seconds where I can hold anybody back for 5 seconds. After that, I'm toast, all right? But for 5 seconds. So here's what I would do then. If I didn't beat them already before that, so we're locked. And somebody says go. And I'm like, did you start already? Now, meanwhile, I can keep my face straight. I'm dying, all right? Like, it's killing me. But I'm like, did you start? And right away, I could feel the person relax. Bang. Get them every single time. Why? It wasn't the strength of the person. I broke their spirit. I broke their heart. You see what I'm saying? And that's how Satan works. Let me tell you something for you and I. We're sometimes broken before we even go out our front door. It has nothing to do with your strength of character or anything like that. It has to do with your attitude and your determination. Now, one day, there's this one guy. This was in high school. Now, I was beating football players. I was trouncing people. This one guy, I'm doing my trash talk. You know, I'm doing the whole thing. Because I, you know, grade 3 and 4, I've been doing all this. I've been doing this for years. I had honed my skill of breaking people in arm wrestling, all right? I was an expert. And so you ever notice that when you have, you know, these UFC wrestlers and or fighters, how they face each other and they give each other the evil eye? Well, there is a warfare that's going on through that. You may have always wondered, you know, what is that? You know, where they get into each other's face. That's part of it. But anyway, back to what I was doing. This guy, you know, and I'm doing all my trash talk and everything. So I go up and he kills me. Like, he just takes my arm and wraps. It's like my arm's spaghetti, all right? Just wraps it around my neck, you know? And he goes, I wasn't listening to you. That's what he said after. You see, he didn't let the head games break him. And that's what you and I have to be so careful about. And Scripture talks about this. Look at this. Proverbs 23, verse 7. this. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. This, they're going to put it up, I hope. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. But it's the first part that I want you to see, all right? For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. And that's what Satan does. And you can read about this in Ephesians 6 and other places, that he throws these fiery darts at you. And it's thoughts. And so that's why some people are so easily broken before they even start. You know, they're in a nice relationship with someone. And all of a sudden, the self-destruct button gets pushed. Why did that happen? The enemy came along and said, you can never have a good relationship. You know, your mom and dad didn't have a good relationship. This didn't happen. This. And what is that? It's the enemy. Just like when I was doing trash talk to all the people I was arm wrestling. It's just crap that the enemy's just feeding you. And here's what happens. You're like, I guess you're right. And you push the self-destruct button in that relationship. You push the self-destruct button in your finances. You push the self-destruct button in some other area. And it's just because the enemy trash-talked you to death in that area. And you've got to rise up and say, hold on. I got a do-over. I'm a new creation in Christ. That was the old person. And yeah, I did get trashed back then. But I'm not listening anymore. And so we've got scriptures to talk about that, right? You know, for example, we've got James 4, verses 6 and 7. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Look at verse 7, James 4, verse 7. Therefore, what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And what does that mean? It means that as he puts pressure on you, you put more pressure back. All right? You know, if any of those guys, if I could tell you that probably half the school could have killed me. Probably half the girls could have beat me in arm wrestling, all right? Literally. But because I had honed my skill of breaking their spirit, breaking their heart, breaking their minds, they were done. Do you know that people in business do that? Weaker businesses take over stronger businesses all because of trash talk. All because of how they word things and how they do things. You know, it's done all the time at every level. But the enemy of your soul, can I tell you, he's an expert. He's an expert. By the way, I don't do that to people anymore. Just want you to know, right? Not in arm wrestling, not in anything, all right? I just spell it out. Look, here's the deal, take it or leave it kind of thing. And people decide whether they want to do something. I don't manipulate, I don't control, because that's not God's way of doing things. But I will tell you that the enemy will do anything he can to hold you back from your future in God. And so we need to be proactive in dealing with the enemy. So how can we do that? And that's really what I want to finish up with today, all right? I have two stories from the Bible that I want to just bring up for you to consider, all right? And for time's sake, we're not going to read them. I just want to tell you, all right? So if you're writing down scriptures, write this down. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And it's the story of the unjust judge. And in that, Jesus goes and he brings up this story, talks about this widow woman and how she goes to this unjust judge and says, grant me, you know, justice against my adversity. And as the story goes on, the judge is like, ignores her, you know, blows her off, says, I don't want to bother with this woman. What does this woman keep doing? Keeps coming back. Keeps coming back, keeps coming back. And the judge actually says to himself, he says, though I don't regard man, in other words, I don't care about anybody, I don't regard God, I don't care about God, this woman is driving me crazy. Now, I'm paraphrasing, all right, but that's really what it's, she is driving, I'm going to go Fruit Loops if I don't get rid of this woman, all right? And so he grants her request. Now, what's amazing is that verse, and I believe it's the verse 8, and if you want to put it up, I believe it's verse 8. So it's Luke 18, verse 8. Here's what Jesus says. This is kind of like the summary of this whole thing. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, referring to God, all right? Because God says, how much more will God help people if we go to him and ask for our needs? But look at this. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Interesting, isn't it? In other words, to be proactive means that you and I need to trust God. Are we willing to do that? It's hard to trust God. If you're trusting someone, it means you don't got the goods. All right? If I tell Alexis that I've got $100 in my pocket and I'll give it to her at the end of the service. All right. This is a story, all right, just so you know, all right? So here's what she looks at me, and, you know, and then I carry on with the message, and she's thinking, does he really have the $100? Is he really going to give it to me? All right, all of those things are going through her head. Do you know the only way I personally will be able to tell whether she has faith or trust in me is after the service she comes running up and says, give me my $100. She could say, she could sit there the whole meeting and say, I got faith, I got faith, I got faith, you know, and do this mantra, I got faith, I got, you know, saying all this, none of that matters until she gets up and she comes and says, give me my $100 that you promised in front of all these people. That's faith. And I want to tell you something. You can talk and talk and talk and say, I'm this with God, I'm that with God, but until you act upon his word, you really don't trust him. And so often you and I, here's what we want to do. We want to do a hybrid version. And here's what I mean by this. We want to do it our way and throw God in on it. You get what I'm saying? You know, we want to do it the way we think. Well, we kind of think God would want it this way. And we ask God to bless it. And I'm going to say this, and I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks. God won't bless your mess. He won't bless your mess. It's got to be done his way exactly to the T. So it's not him getting into our boat. We're getting into his boat. You see what I'm saying? And that's difficult for us. How many people are strong-willed here? Thank you for being honest. Some of you were dishonest. I just want you to know that, all right? By nature, us humans are strong-willed. It's just the way we're wired and made. And I believe some of it's self-preservation. I believe there's some reasons for it. And so it's not a bad thing, but it's bad going in the wrong direction. You know, the Apostle Paul, read about him and some of the stuff he did before he came to Christ. You know, he was motivated, he was proactive, but pushing against God rather than running with him. Amen? And so we have to be careful about that. All right, the last one example I want to give you, again, if you're writing down scriptures, is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Now, it is a story that we all know. This is where Peter and the disciples are in the boat. They're out in the middle, you know, the Sea of Galilee, and the waters are moving all around, and Jesus is walking by, all right? So Jesus walked by, and it freaks out the disciples. Listen, it would freak you and I out, all right? You don't see people walking on water every day, all right? And so it freaked them out. Jesus says, hey, it's me, guys. And of all the disciples, what does Pete say? Hey, if it's you, Jesus, bid me to come out on the waters. I want to do that. I want a wet water walk with you. You know, I want to go with you out there. And what does Jesus say? Oh, no, you're not holy enough to come out with me. Who do you think you are? No, he didn't say that at all. You know what he says? One word. Come. Isn't that amazing? Now, the reason I bring that scripture up, that's being proactive, isn't it? Think about that. Here's Pete. He's not waiting in the boat for Jesus to get to the boat. Talk about proactive. He's like, hey, I want to come. I want to. And Jesus says, fine. Now, here's the problem. Some of you are thinking, yeah, then he almost died. All right, that's what you're thinking. All right, that's what proactiveness gets you. I want you to think beyond that for a minute. First of all, he walked on water. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. If I walked on water like for 20, 30 feet and then drowned, talk about going out in a blaze of glory. I'd be okay with that, actually. I'm good with that, all right? But the point is, you know, he walked on water. Yes, the circumstances got his attention. And he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to sink. But did Jesus let him die? No way. Listen, all the 11 disciples back in the boat, they don't get to tell a story about how they walked on water. Pete gets to tell the story. And everyone might joke with him and say, yeah, but you almost drowned. He said, no, Jesus was always watching me. I may have gotten my eyes off him, but Jesus was always watching me. And that's important for us. Listen to me. If you're going to be proactive and have successes, it automatically means you're going to have some failures. It automatically means that. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to make some sidesteps, some missteps. It's part of being proactive. It's called life. Or you can play it safe. Never take a step out of your comfort zone. Never kind of go beyond what you feel you're able to do. And guess what? Let me tell you, your life will remain the same as it is right now. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands and ask how many people just like their life to stay exactly how it is right now. I'm just not going to ask. You know that answer, amen? And let me tell you what the answer is without you showing your hands. We all want more, me included. For that to happen, we have to step out in a proactive attitude. But it doesn't begin necessarily towards your circumstances. Let me tell you this. This is why I ended with those two examples. It begins with a proactive attitude towards God in prayer, in seeking Him and asking Him for His wisdom. Because when we do that, when our attitude towards God is right, then when we turn to the rest of the world, it's all going to work out. Amen? Think about Jesus. Every night, you can read about it in the Gospels. Every night He would go into the mountains and pray. This is God, by the way, all right? The Son of God going into the mountains to pray, to hear from His Father, to know what to do for the following day. Now, if Jesus needed to do that, just a thought, probably you and I need to do a little more of that seeking of Him so that we can be proactive to deal with the world, amen? We need to stop kind of floundering and just doing what we think is kind of right and see what His very heart is. Because when we step out of the Holy of Holies, when we step out of His presence, after we've been with Him, when we speak, when we act, when we do, when we just hover, God is in the midst, amen? Amen. Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we didn't go in exactly the direction that I had written all the stuff down, and we went a different way, but I like that, Lord God, because I like You. I love You, Lord God. Your plan is always better, and that was my prayer last night here and even this morning, that Your Holy Spirit would have His way. For, Lord God, anything apart from You is just a bunch of words. Just a bunch of pep talk, just a bunch of nothing, Lord God. The world does that. But Lord God, when it's Your truth, when it's Your word that goes forth, You promise through Your Holy Scriptures that it will not return void, but will accomplish that which it was sent out to do. And so, Lord, not everything talked about, not everything even sang about was meant for every person here. But there was something for everyone. There was a nugget of truth, a revelation. There was something for every single person here. And so, Lord, it's my heart's cry right now that something, that seed of truth, would go deep within the hearer's heart, deep within the seedbed of their heart, Lord God. And it would grow and get good, strong roots, and it would multiply and produce fruit unto righteousness, bringing honor and glory to You. And so, Lord, I pray that we have proactivity in our lives, Lord God, that we are proactive in our lives. But Lord God, more importantly, that we have an attitude of being proactive towards You. That Lord God, that we'd be willing to get out of the comfort and safety of our boats and walk on water towards You at times. That Lord God, we would call out to You and say, Lord, is it time for this? Is it time for that? And be willing to step out of our comfort zones, out of what we normally do, to see You do something extraordinary. Lord God, that's Your heart, is to take us from ordinary to extraordinary. And for that to happen, it means we have to come out of our comfort zones. And so, Lord, show us where that ring is, that we can step out of it to glorify You. And through the process, we'll be changed as well. So, Lord, I thank You for every single person here, Lord. And there's needs here, Lord God. There's health needs, Lord God. There's financial needs. There's job needs. Lord God, there's all kinds of needs represented here. But Lord God, You are the need-meeting God. So Lord God, right now, in fact, just if you have a need in the Lord, just put your hand up in the air. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. Just put your hand up in the air. Lord, You see all these hands raised up around this sanctuary. And so, Lord, I thank You that You have a custom solution for each individual, Lord God. And so, Lord, I pray right now, especially that the comfort of Your Holy Spirit would just wrap around them, that Your presence would just wrap around them, that they would know they're not alone through this adventure, through this event, through what's going on. And that, Lord God, that they can see, help them to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Help them to see, Lord God, that You've got a plan through this process, and that, Lord, they need to call out to You and ask for wisdom, and then be proactive and take the steps, Lord God. And for some, Lord God, it's painful. It may be changing a way of thinking, Lord God, or an attitude about something. And Lord, it's painful to let go of those things. But Lord God, I pray that Your peace that passes all understanding will sedate that pain, Lord God, that truly it'd be like an anesthesia, Lord God, just going into their hearts, that, Lord God, for the pain they're experiencing and letting it go, that it would be replaced by something far greater and far more powerful. So, Lord God, just bless each one as they go out into their mission fields, Lord God, to their families, their schools, their homes, their jobs. Bless them as they seek Your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, if you need prayer specifically for anything, love to pray with you. God bless you this morning. Be proactive.